your boy Pete Walsh, aka Lamborghini Petey. Episode 75 of the Respect the Game podcast. The last podcast recorded in this office. So thankfully, we got a special guest in the building. Happy to have him here. It's Davon Reed from the Phoenix Suns. Davon, thank you for coming, man.
Thank you for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Of course. So, you know, we were just talking a little bit on when we were walking down the hallway how you guys have had a bit of a crazy schedule this week. You were in New York. You played the Nets on Monday, was it, right? Or Tuesday?
Tuesday.
I keep getting it screwed up. I'm sorry. Then you played in D.C. last night, and then you're playing the Knicks on Friday. So, been jet-setting a little bit between New York and D.C. You know, how's the travel been for you?
It's been good so far. It's been a long road trip. We actually, before we got out here to New York, we were in Portland. And so we came from Portland to New York, and we were in New York for a couple of days, then went to D.C. last night, obviously, and came back last night, or this morning, rather, however you want to say it, and came back to New York. So it's been a little bit of back and forth. Then we finish up in San Antonio before we go home.
Man, that's a crazy trip. I mean, even though you're not playing right now, you're nursing a knee injury. I mean, it must be such a better experience being able to travel with the team that's sitting home and watching, right?
Absolutely. You know, that was one of my biggest things, just hoping I'd be back in time to travel with the team. And like I said to you earlier, I've been traveling since training camp. So just getting a chance to gel with the team, even though I'm not physically on the court, just, you know, talking on the bench because that's just my personality and seeing the game from that perspective. And, you know, it's been a great experience so far.
Yeah, and I feel like that's something that teams are starting to adopt more and more, is having the rookies travel, even when they're hurt. I think that really benefited Ben Simmons last year, just being able to watch, you know, rotations, how the team offense works from the sideline. And you hear him say he credits that as a great learning experience. So, I mean, for you personally, like, it's only been your first couple months in the league, but I feel like just from a learning perspective, that's got to be way more helpful than just watching film all day, right?
Absolutely. When you watch the game on TV and then watch it, you know, in person, it's definitely a little bit different. So, you know, just seeing everything, you know, even seeing the atmosphere, you know, the different crowds, different things, how people talk, and, you know, different rotations, a little bit different in person. So, like I said, I'm glad to be experiencing that.
And then, you know, you're back home. Or a little bit back
home.
You're from
home,
Jersey,
yeah.
from Trenton. You played at Princeton Day, right? Is that correct?
Princeton Day School.
So does it feel good to be home? I mean, I'm sure you caught up. You said you're going to see your dad a little later on. So is it good just to get a little bit of home cooking while you're in the area?
Absolutely. No, glad to be home, close to home rather than, you know, family coming up tomorrow. Got to see my dad a little bit today. So, you know, whenever you're in the city, man, it's a good feeling anyway. So just glad to be back on the East Coast a little bit.
Yeah, so, you know, we were just talking earlier how Jersey is just churning out kids at this point. And, you know, why do you think kids are so good now coming out of New Jersey? Like, you graduated 2013, right?
Yeah, 2013.
You know, what has changed, I guess, in the last – well, I guess actually I take that back because Jersey's been churning out ballers probably for the last, you know, well, going back like 20 years, but I feel like every roster has at least one kid from Jersey now in the NBA. So what makes it such a special place for basketball?
I mean, it's a basketball state. You know, down south, you think about football and basketball, but up north is more basketball hearted, I feel like. And, you know, Jersey's always had talent. You know, back when I was younger, traveling, playing AAU, I felt like Jersey was just as talented back then as a, you know, as the other states, and I still feel that same way. And then, you know, we're seeing those Jersey players in the NBA now, like you said, almost one player on each roster. So Jersey's making some noise right now, and I feel like they'll continue to do that as
I mean, between Kyrie, Kat, that's like two of the top 15 guys in the league right now. So, and I mean, Jersey's such a small state, and just per capita, I feel like, you know, I always kind of stir the pot a little bit when I have people from Jersey or California up here, because they always like to say their state is the best. So I try and give people a little chance to stunt, and then I turn right around and I tell someone from California that, you know, Davon Reed said that New Jersey's got the best ballers.
I mean, for us to be such a small state, like you said, per capita, we got some Jersey ballers. We holding it down a little bit. So.
Yeah, cool. And then, you know, you spoke a little bit about down south, and you played in Miami, 4 years in Miami. And then what was that experience like, you know? Were you planning on going to college all 4 years? How did everything work out there?
I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. You know, growing up, I would have never imagined playing at Miami. Just like my first year in the NBA, I never would have imagined playing for the Phoenix Suns. So, you know, it's just all a part of God's plan, I feel like. And playing at Miami was a great experience. Playing for Coach L, man, learning so much. And he definitely prepared me for where I am now. I feel like I'm so much more ahead, just how I see rotations defensively and different schemes and just how I look at the game versus how I would have looked at it, you know, going into college. So I had the time of my life in Miami, and it was, you know, a great 4 years. I didn't put a limit on what I want to do 1 year or 4 years. It just, you know, wanted to get better every year, and I felt like I did that. And, you know, I had a great time, like I said.
Yeah, and, you know, you weren't like a five-star kid coming out of high school. So what was your recruiting process like? Like, there wasn't like Ball's Life mixtape for you, anything like that. Like, did you feel a little like you were a little undervalued coming out of high school, or what was that recruiting process like for you?
I mean, for whatever reason, like even in the draft process, I felt like it was comparable to my college thing. I didn't have like the big hype around me. Like, it wasn't no a bunch of Hoop mixtapes or Davon Reed articles or a lot of buzz about me, but I had the recruitment. You know, I had like over 25 offers. I had offers from Big East, ACC, you know, a lot of schools were recruiting me, from the Georgetowns to the Miamis to the UConn to the Memphises, whatever you want to name it. I had the recruitment, so it wasn't like I wasn't getting love from, you know, the schools. It just wasn't the media attention that I was getting. And the same way I felt for the draft process, my name was under the radar, wasn't getting much love, but I shocked the world and went number 32, so very proud about that.
Yeah, and I mean, you said, you know, you had the time of your life in Miami. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that's a great place for an 18 to 22-year-old kid to wind up. So, as you said, it all worked out for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
And I mean, you guys made the tournament in 2016 to 2017.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was it like, that experience, just playing in the tournament? I'm always so, you know, curious, because I feel like it's so much different than, you know, just playing a regular ACC game, even if you're playing at like a Cameron or at Carolina or something, even like a big game like that. I feel like even though the crowd may not be as full in like the early round, if you're playing in the afternoon or whatever, I feel like just knowing that you're playing on CBS in the middle of the day and the whole world is watching, like, right. What was that experience like for you guys?
Well, got to go back a little bit. My sophomore year, we went to the NIT championship, so we played at MSG.
And you guys won that, right?
No, we lost in the finals. It's all good.
I knew you were in the finals.
But the next year, my junior year, we went to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament. So to see, like, I thought the NIT championship, of course, it wasn't a tournament, but that felt like a big deal. But the feeling of playing in a Sweet 16 and playing in a tournament wasn't even comparable. You know, it was one of the best feelings. Like, you know, this is something you dream about all the time, you know, watching March Madness every year. So making a tournament, then making the tournament again my senior year, it was something I felt like I needed to do again for my career. And it was, you know, like I said, I wouldn't take back any of that stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you went second round. What was your feeling on draft night? Were you nervous at all? What was the buzz you were getting after workouts and everything?
The draft process was crazy. You know, I had like 18 workouts.
Wow.
Literally flying across the country. Sometimes I went from Boston actually to my Phoenix workout. So literally going back and forth across the country. It was a crazy process, but I think the first two went okay. I had Milwaukee and Boston first for my first two walkouts, and then when I got to the Lakers and the Clippers workouts, I think I just hit the ground running, and I had great workouts and, you know, was getting great feedback from my agent. Still was kind of up in the air where I would land, but I was fortunate enough to have two workouts for Phoenix, and that's where I ended up landing, and I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, and I think I was actually reading an article before you guys came in that, you know, Ryan McDonough said that he was super impressed that you were doing all that travel and still showing up for workouts and giving 110%. So, you know, he credited as kind of like a blue-collar work ethic. I mean, would you say that's accurate? Like,
absolutely. I feel like if you're better than me, you're going to have to prove that you're better than me because I can't have you outwork me. You know what I'm saying? That's my edge. You know, I'm not going to let you outwork me. So that's just the type of approach I tried to take during the draft process. And I think that was the, you know, biggest thing that I can credit it to. Every workout I approach, like, I'm here to, you know, claim my spot. I know how good I am. I know what I'm capable of doing. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to be the best worker. Even if you're better than me, you're going to have to prove it, like I said. So.
And then the summer league, you had some nice games. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think Devin Booker, he was on the broadcast saying that he was impressed by the way you were playing in practice. You know, how tough was it to be coming off that and then hit with the injury, you know, and having to miss the beginning part of the season? Was that, you know, I guess mentally, what kind of toll did that take on you?
Well, this is my second time having this injury, and both times, but just kind of like just weird coincidence of how it happened. So, I mean, like you said, drafted 32 and then having a great summer league to back that up, and then being hit with the injury, of course it was, you know, tough to deal with at first, but, you know, I never really got down, didn't question it. You know, everything happens for a reason. So I'm just using this opportunity to just learn as much as I can and get better and come back 110% and just be ready by the time I come back. So.
Yeah, and I mean, the Suns obviously believe in you. Mm-hmm. You know, they offered you a multi-year contract. Mm-hmm. So did that give you a little bit of comfort knowing that that was the case?
Yeah, I feel like when they drafted me, they knew what type of player they were getting from the jump. And, you know, I'm thankful that they feel confident in me, and hopefully I can continue to prove myself. And even now with the rehab, just showing up, making sure I'm the first one in the gym, just getting better and trying to get back on the court as quick as possible and be the best player I can be. But when I'm on the sidelines, just talk to my team, encourage, be the biggest cheerleader and whatever. So just bringing that same type of mentality, even though I'm not playing. So.
Yeah, and you know, I know it's early and your time has been a little limited in Phoenix, but you know, when you listen to a guy like Jared Dudley talk, he's always talking about how he tries to take care of all the rookies and the young guys, and you know, he takes them out to dinner and talks to them about the way the NBA lifestyle and making sure that you're taking care of your money and all that, and just kind of serves as a mentor for the young kids. Mm-hmm. Have you had that kind of relationship with him yet? Or
yeah, JD and Tyson, I have to say, have been. We don't have many vets, but they've been great vets to us so far. JD's very vocal, you know, talking about how to be professional. One thing I admire about him, he's not the most, you know, athletic player even right now, but just to see how precise he is with his cuts, his pass, and his screens he sets and practice, always talking, always moving, you know, playing the right way is something you can really learn a lot from. So,
And then, obviously, things went down with Phoenix early on this season, Earl Watson getting fired, and, you know, for a guy like you who's just coming into league, I mean, I feel like you're getting a firsthand experience at how quickly things can change. So, you know, what was your reaction to hearing that? And then, you know, how's the team? I feel like the team has responded well. Obviously, you never want to see a guy lose his job, but you guys are back at 500 now.
Yeah.
So, you know, what do you think about everything that went down?
I mean, it was a tough day for me, especially, you know, the way it kind of went down, you know, following the loss we had to the Clippers, and then, you know, the next day finding out through ESPN update to your phone. So I know that's a tough way to hear that your head coach is getting fired. So, you know, I loved Earl, and I think everybody respected and loved Earl, and, you know, the situation is what it is. I think that we've responded, and, you know, we're on the upswing right now, and the guys have really, I think we've come together more importantly than anything else. We, you know, realized that what we were doing before wasn't cutting it, and we come together, and we kind of hit our stride a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, oftentimes you'll see a coach get fired, and then a player will demand a trade and the team can just, you know, go in the tank and just give up. But you guys have responded nicely to all the turmoil. And I think with a guy like Devin Booker, you're always going to be in games because he could just light it up from anywhere. You know, what's it been like watching him so up close, and how talented is he?
Man, he just turned 21
like
a day or two ago. So it's crazy to see how mature his game is so early. And, we got a lot of young talent on this team. That's why, you know, I'm so glad to be here and we get a chance to grow with each other and really, you know, hopefully mimic something like Golden State did and other teams like that. So But back to book, just this game is mature beyond his years. You know, like I said, just turned 21. I think he's going to be a superstar in this league.
Did you play him in college?
No, I didn't have a chance to play against him.
No. Yeah, was he on your radar at all even back then? I feel like...
I mean, I watched so much basketball, period. You know, I definitely watched those Kentucky teams, watching, him, Tyler, Carl. You know, Carl and I played together back in the day. So, getting a chance to see, a bunch of different players in schools around the country.
You played with Towns, what, AU or just
even
when you were younger?
We played for Team New Jersey about probably like 6th or 7th grade together. So.
Yeah, one of my biggest memories of seeing Towns, it was at the Jordan Brand Classic. I guess it must have been 2014. Mm-hmm. And his feet were so big that they couldn't even get him like.
He used to have some big feet back then. He was wearing like a 16 or 17 when we were that young. So yeah, he's always, I guess, destined to be a 7-footer.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, but it was just like a little bit of a shock to see because everyone was wearing like whatever the brand new Jordans were. Yeah. And then he had just, like, size, like, 22, like, just black sneakers, like, no branding on them or whatever. Right. And I was like, man, I kind of feel for that kid. He can't even get the sneakers. But now he's got fire coming from Nike, so right. I guess it all worked out for him.
Yeah.
But a guy I actually wanted to mention to you was Mike James, who has seemingly come out of nowhere. Yeah. And, I mean, you got to respect a guy like that who's – 27, he's played all over the world. Mm-hmm. He's come in, he's really making the most of his opportunity. Mm-hmm. So what's his game like? I mean, people are really probably very privy to him yet, mm-hmm. so early in the season, but you had a chance to play with him in the mm-hmm. summer league and watched him during practice and games. So what do you got to say about Mike James?
Well, I got a chance to see Mike, like you said. We played summer league together, and he was great to play alongside, and he was lighting it up, being a good point guard, but also scoring the ball, and kind of just grinded his way to a starting position, some kind of type of thing that he worked his way for. Some things happened, and I think he's made the most of his opportunity so far, and I feel like he'll continue to do so. But you got to respect that, it's not always, especially for a guy like me, not getting so much publicity and all the hype, him having to go across the water to overseas and play for different countries and what have you, but he's, like I said, made his way and made himself a starting point guard in the NBA, and nobody can take that from him. So I think he'll continue to lead us and get better and better every game.
Mm. And then just from sitting on the sidelines, so you guys have played. You said you played the Clippers, you played Brooklyn, you played DC, and I'm trying to think what other games off the top of my head, but whatever. Who would you say has impressed you the most from, like, whether it be like a John Wall or Blake Griffin, just from watching them super up close like that?
I was impressed with Blake. Blake was very good against us.
With Blake, I mean, it was, he's basically playing point guard.
Yeah, he's definitely doing a lot more with the ball. Expanding his game to the wing some more. He's in the MVP talks right now, and he's always had the talent. Sometimes he's been plagued with those freak injuries as well, so it's been unfortunate. But I was impressed with I've had a chance to see Damo a few times now. He's been scary good. Anybody else I can think off the top?
About John Wall,
I think John Wall. I mean, he's so talented. Probably one of the best two-way players, if not the best two-way point guard in the NBA. I was really impressed with Brad Beal yesterday, though. He definitely lit it up. But,
yeah. What about his game? Do you like?
Being able to score from pretty much all parts of the court. From three-point land all the way to the basket, mid-range game. He really picks and choose as well. So
when you're watching a guy like that, are you looking at little things he does, mm-hmm. whether it be like his footwork or mm-hmm. getting to his spot or the way he makes a cut? Are you kind of taking mental notes?
Oh yeah, I'm always taking notes, just seeing what different players do. He's a stronger guard, so he tries to use his body well, and especially when he gets in the lane, switching it up. When do I go to the basket? When am I shooting the mid-range? When am I using the floater? So just trying to pick up on little things from every different player that I see.
Mm-hmm. And then, is there any guy that you grew up watching that you just, like, you can't wait to play against?
I'm a LeBron fan.
Yeah.
I'm a diehard LeBron fan, so I'm looking forward to watching that. I'm looking forward to watching the Golden State Warriors, you know, seeing players in person. You know, it's a little, like I said, it's a little bit different when you get to see in person versus on TV. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody play.
Yeah.
But, you know, I grew up a LeBron fan for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how much people are, you know, they're off to a slow start, but mm-hmm. I mean, how could you doubt a guy who's made the finals 7 straight years?
Exactly.
So you feel like you just give him the benefit of the doubt that they're going to turn it around.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I mean, obviously Slam is a huge LeBron fan, so mm-hmm. we're obviously rooting for him every step of the way. But yeah. What do you think about the Cavs overall? Like, have you gotten a chance to watch them at all?
I watched them the first game of the season and a few other games. I mean, I feel like they got better even though they lost Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, they gotten better. You know, they still working some kinks out. D-Rose has been down. Isaiah is obviously hurt and not back, so they're not even at full steam right now. And I think obviously when you have a guy that's been to the finals, 7 straight times,
yeah.
I think that you pretty much bet your money on him. So
yeah.
I think they'll be all right. Yeah,
I mean, I think it's a credit to LeBron that they were coming into this season with so much roster turnover and everyone just thought they were going to click mm-hmm. right away.
Yeah.
And it's obviously going to take some time to work out.
Again, like we said, that's just on paper. You know,
yeah.
It takes time for teams to gel and mesh. And, you know, there's no real timetable for certain things like that. So it'll work itself out, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, you look even like the Suns. Mm-hmm. You guys started really poorly and mm-hmm. now things turn quickly.
Absolutely.
In the NBA. And it's, you know, you get hot for a week and
yeah.
things look a lot different than they may have.
Mm-hmm. I feel like just like in college, you know, playing in the ACC, you can win one game, you can win two games, you can lose 3 in a row. It's just how it happens, you know. You can't get too high, can't get too low. Just kind of try to find some consistency.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I mean, before we get out of here, we'd be remiss if we didn't shout out the Caputo family. you played for Chris when you were at Miami. Matt used to work here years ago. So, you know, what was it like playing for Chris? I hear players really like that guy.
Yeah, I just spoke to Caputo earlier, actually. You know, I think he's definitely a great talent. I think he'll be a great head coach one day. You know, he definitely has a wealth of knowledge for the game. And he's one of those coaches that actually studies it. I feel like, you know, studies the game and knows a lot. So I think when he gets his opportunity, he'll do great as a head coach.
Cool. Well, Davon, appreciate you coming through, man. Last guest in this office. I'm sure you'll never forget it.
I'll never forget it. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, man.
So, me to be the last one.
Of course. Best of luck with everything.
Thank
and
you.
Anytime you're in New York, just holler. We'd love to have you come through.
I appreciate you.
All right, man.